suicide prevention document. Claire, I think we found the lead on this, and I think members have had copies of the document circulated to you. So, should I have that to you for a second, or Sally, are you speaking? I'm not sure how you want
to. I'm happy to speak to it,
Sally, I know this is probably your last meeting, isn't it? So before we forget, we say thank you for everything you've done for us.
Absolutely. I cannot thank Sally enough for all the work she's done since we came in and have been working alongside us. I have every confidence in saying to Sally that Simon will step into breach. It has been really good working with Sally. Really good.
So if you introduce, and then I'll invite any members...
I don't think she's going to
retire, though. If you introduce Sally, then I'll invite any members who wish to speak on the topic to...
I think this item's been to the board several times, and there's been a lot of work on developing strategies, including input from a task force interview the scrutiny committee, and a stakeholder engagement event where about 100 people attended and put it into the plan. It has been some time in generation, I think that's fair to say, a little bit of a change of leadership between the CCG leading and work on suicide prevention. That's, I think, the guidance gives the responsibility for development plans, but obviously absolutely a multi-agency piece of work. And all of us around the table have, all agencies on the island have responsibility to contribute towards suicide prevention. So you've seen the final version of the plan. What we'd like is for the Health and Wellbeing Group to provide any final comments or ideas towards it, and then we'll be going away and developing the suicide prevention strategy that Claire's just alluded to under Simon's leadership, will be developing an action plan. I think it's fair to say that this plan does follow national, and it's set out slightly differently from the things in the national guidance, but it's all in there. And I think just to make the point that throughout all things, there will be attention on the high risk groups. I know that's been a concern of some people. We do understand what our high risk groups are from national data and also from the local suicide audit, which we do every year. And that informs action planning as we go forward. I think the other thing just to say that is being introduced in the Isle of Wight and also across the country is real time surveillance, so that we now are not waiting for the final information from coroners, which obviously takes a long time. Of course, real-time surveillance is about suspected suicide, and we can't categorise until we have the final report. But that helps us if there was a cluster or a new trend coming out, we can pick that up much early and be more responsive to the work that we're doing. But as I say, this is about this is a strategy that's been led by the council and the public health team, but it is very much about everybody contributing their part in preventing suicide. So I'm happy to take questions if you want to add anything.
Okay, so the key things I picked up, and I've just skimmed over the plan again as you said over the papers. We've got our suicide prevention group forming.
That's established.
Which Simon will be chairing.
Yeah, I'm currently chair, but we'll be handing the chair over to Simon.
Okay, and
but I was still deputy chair.
And what I heard you say, there will be an action plan that comes out of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that no action is being taken at the moment. There's a lot of action that I can talk about, but there will be a detailed action plan developed to deliver the strategy. And like all strategies, it's constantly under review. New evidence comes out, and of course that's always taken into account.
And yeah, can I just add, that's one of the things that's been very clear from the group. This is not something that can ever be written in stone. You know, we can't just write this paper and then leave it. You know, there is different demographic from changes. You know, we know changes that happen all the time can change what is happening with what is happening when we do staffing across the sites and the line. So those measures that we can't just say this is it. It needs that group to carry on and ensure that this is refreshed all the time.
So it's a dynamic plan.
Yeah.
And I know from P6 particularly, because it's interesting when you read it in terms of getting the practical terms, we probably just about hit all six risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
Males between 40 and 60, feet to 54, well, our demographics there. People experience mental and emotional health at risk, low income bereavement, people who are socially isolated from the island being as rural as it's urban. People with long-term or chronic health conditions, well, we know that's absolutely there. And then people who misuse drugs and alcohol and other substances, and I'm sure we could all evidence that. So, and last, people who do self-harm. We focus on young people, and we've got lots of examples of self-harming on the island. So, in terms of the risk, we sit right in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that most areas have populations that have all those. The trick is to be the work to identify the people that are at risk and see what might be in place to
do. I think I'm highlighting that because people sometimes, and the island is a great place to live and work and very nice and friendly, but this is one of the underlying areas that we have a duty to make sure that we deal with, I think, and that's why I'm really pleased.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that came out quite clearly with the group was quite a heavy discussion was on social media, the impact of social media and
yeah.
How that has changed. You know, if we looked at what was happening when the challenge was at school, we wouldn't have been able to get the phone to know anybody's business or anything like that. You know, that was really, social media has, you know, self-harming and stuff like that, so that has been quite a heavy part of this as well. I think that has
helped. I think it's just right to point out that while no rape suicide is acceptable, the rate on the island wide is similar to the national average. It's not above that, and I'm not saying that's okay, I'm just saying that, you know, it isn't worse. From the national average.
Okay.
That's not good enough. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll look at the comments. Remy Michelle wants to speak. Paul May wants to speak in due course about something he's dealing with. I know Michael does, so I'll go to those three first. Michelle.
Thank you. Suicide is obviously very close to my heart. You know, I see patients every day that are suicidal and sometimes unfortunately successful, and it's destroying everybody, particularly families. The stats go up to 2017. What are our stats doing over the last 2 years? And I'll put this up,
I've got the latest data that we've got, which comes from February 19, and that is the 3-year average to 2015 to 2017. So we haven't got any more recent data.
So
that is one of the difficult things about, you know, we don't get. That's why we need the real time spend, although that won't be the date. That's just something that we can
why I asked the question is how do we know whether we'll be successful for 2 years out to people KPIs and stuff.
Absolutely. The rates have been going down for like 4 years. I mean, one of the challenges is that of course it's really good to have small numbers, you know, because you've got a small population. But of course it does mean that you have more volatility on year to year numbers, which is why in the public we've presented profiles, you use a 3-year rolling average because you can smooth out those year to year fluctuations.
We do have more real time data that we're looking at. So we have a police officer and also Sally's team, Sarah Jackson's team, who is collecting real time data across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Of course, everything is redacted, but that is real as of data. And the coroner is also part of the group. So there is those conversations that, you know, yes, that data might be sort of 2 years away, but the actual real-time data is brought into that form.
And the other thing is that, I mean, the information from the audit obviously has informed the strategy, but that we would usually share the audit, in a form that's publicly shareable, because we have to be very careful with the data that we put out. And I'm not sure where we are in the front of them. I have to thank you for being there.
I'm the cyclist. I'm not sure what's possible.
Okay. Okay.
mics. I'm mindful we haven't in the meeting today, but what I'm going to ask Brian to do, he's now going to grab his pen and work at it fast, is to do a summary of what we come out with from today. And I think we should put it out there publicly that we are now pushing this strategy and the things that we're going to do, because I think it's really important that the community understands that it's not just sitting there as a document, that we're actually committing ourselves to do some significant work. So, Brian, if you could take, if you're okay, linking with Jen, I'm sure we'll get some key points. And Kelly's sitting in the back, so we've got comms in the room, which is handy. So I think we should put something out and make sure that it's a good, from the board, in the past. Okay, so that's Sally, Michelle, Michael, I think you were next, sorry, I've just gone around.
I was just smiling because you might want to reassess about the, to the media after some of the things that I might say, right? Because I'm going to be highly... I'm going to be highly critical, as a friend, but highly critical.
So, you see, heads up, because I did say Michael gave me a heads up on this board, but my view is if Michael represents a body of people, which he does, he's entitled to say, and sometimes we don't always want to hear things that we're not happy with, but actually, at least if we're open and transparent, we are. So, he's a professional, and I'm sure he won't deal with it in any other way. So, the floor is yours at the moment, Michael.
I want to raise five specific points, and if I can do it one in the chair, perhaps in between them, I'll just give response. Firstly, I will bring to the thing that the Adult Social Care and Health Suicide Prevention Board did do a report, a task and finish group report, which has some clear recommendations. One of those was that this was circulated to all members of this board, so that when they were looking at the, considering the strategy and were being asked to vote on this strategy today, that they had also looked at this report. Have every member here had a copy of this report that was published in June last year and read it, because I feel that you need to read it alongside this strategy.
I think it came, I think it came to the board in 16th of July, so sometime back.
Is the current board members all up to date with this?
There's one or two changes.
So why are you asking for a clear set yet?
Because it's got clear recommendations, and in those recommendations I do not think this strategy is actually taken on board those recommendations.
So should we deal with that bit? Would you like that recirculated, and can we ask the group to pick that up?
Sorry, Chair. So this, that paper went to Health and Adult Social Care scrutiny, and we didn't accept all of the recommendations.
Right.
The committee did. It actually passed that. The chair is here.
The committee might on, but not all the recommendations. Okay. So I don't want anyone to be misled. So the actual wording, if we send that out, then we need to make sure that the wording of the actual acceptance of it, because I make quite clear, we have to work within our budgets and stuff like that.
So what we can do, I think, is circulate that to all the members, together with the comments from the Health and Adult Social Care Scrutiny Committee, because they'll be documented, then you get to see both pictures. And Sally, if you could ask Simon if he could pick that up.
Of course, and I think, and thank you for that point, and I know that that report was also considered by the strategy group, and I think Councillor Lee had a response to that, which we can certainly recirculate to people to see what the response from the group was to the report, which
Fine.
Was really helpful and has informed the development of the strategy.
I think what we're doing is likely to get it right, which is a good way of doing it. Yeah, that's good. So thank you for that, Michael.
The second point, which you mentioned, Sally, about the collaboration with others. I think it's important. There was a very, very good article in the county press, which was on the front page of the county press, about suicide. Actually, there was a very brave resident who spoke very openly. In fact, the same resident who actually spoke at the workshop, which you chaired, last year, Mark Langford, I can use that name because it's in the public domain. And clearly there was some clear criticism that, you know, within the public, that they felt family. I subsequently received quite a lot of telephone calls. I was actually mentioned in the article because of the Task and Finish group side. And there was definitely, I'll use one example, he's given me permission to say, Paul Holbrook of the Suicide Isle of Wight and Intervention group, saying that they have tried very hard to have discussions with yourselves, but have asked me, because they are a voluntary sector, or within the voluntary sector, and I'm a voluntary sector representative, along with a number of other organisations, I won't mention them because I haven't gone to them to get their permission to name them, who are actually feel that they haven't had collaboration and talks. Particularly, I will raise the Men in Sheds movement, because it's very clear in this report, which is that older men are a particular high risk group, and it was recommended in this report that actually the work of the Men in Sheds project was actually targeting that particular.
If I pause you there on that, I'll go to Claire and then I'll ask Sally to pick that up.
So, all of those groups, and do remember we have read that and we have discussed in depth the report that you wrote, as you know, that yourself, you were very heavily involved in. There's certain people that you have spoken about, one of them who leads on a voluntary group, excuse me, I'm so tired. And one of the people that leads on one voluntary group, we have looked at not asking them to join the board. You have to realise that when you have a group, that actually it can become unconstructive. If you have too many people there, it can become more of a talking shop. So we have ensured that a member of the group, I believe it was Simon, but don't quote me on that, has met with the gentleman in question and has looked at working towards doing some specific types of training in the voluntary sector. So that has been taken into account. And the part of the Men's Sheds, we have discussed that as well. So you have to remember, this is all a piece of work that will carry on flowing as well. But everybody that you have mentioned, and there is a user representative within the group that has been added into this paper.
Okay,
as well.
So I've heard two things. Michael's rightly reflected back in last year's conference, which I did chair, and I remember the gentleman in question, and I've since spoken to him, and he was on the county press, so he has a good story, a narrative that's important. Claire's highlighted that has been engaged in communication. If we can just document that, we think that should be taken account of by the group.
And I do, and there was a lot of work that went into that, but we need to give Councillor Lilly the assurance, and I've been given the assurance that, detail by detail, we have gone through that, and gone through it as part of the suicide prevention group, and have discussed everything in there to make sure that has fed into this paper.
And because it's going to be a dynamic process, there's absolutely no reason why that can't carry on, so please make sure that that person is satisfied. Have you got another point?
Okay. I've got three more. I had to raise the issue of specifically about funding.
Yeah.
And I totally understand the strengths, right, within that. I have communicated to yourself as well. You had a copy of the letter that I put to you. I will specifically around the strategy. We need strong interventions to tackle our issues here, and that needs funding. And I cannot see in the report, right, and I take your view of the restrictions which have been risen before, that there isn't substantial funding at all behind, right, this strategy. And I see it as a priority, and I do wish that to be reassessed. I do argue, which I will not bring here, that I think that there's other funding that I argue shouldn't could be reallocated, right, within that. But that's a separate argument.
Can I deal with the funding issue in this way?
We said in our report.
Can I just say, sorry, that actually We have the next Gulf Chambers, will come in the summer. Also, you're very specific to funding to this project. You cannot look at anything in isolation. When you look at all the stuff that feeds into the public health budget, what we have done with alcohol, detox, and we brought in inclusion, you cannot look at funding in one isolation to one paper. That is not possible to do that. What you need to do is look what this council and the health authority is doing as a whole to ensure that everything that feeds into this paper is being properly funded and properly managed. So we have some really good examples. For example, so one of the reasons why I've been there today, after we've sat behind me, is that he is now working for us, part of housing, has come under my portfolio as well. So we are looking at that more joined up, person-centred approach. So
that's
we're looking at stuff in isolation. It's important that you know we ask for the councillors not to do so.
Sally, part of your handover to Simon, can you please, in the action plan, ensure that the element of funding is addressed as a topic? You have to remember, of course, this is a strategy for health and wellbeing board, not just the Alloway Council. So I think we have a partnership view.
So that was the point I was going to make. So
yeah.
I wouldn't normally expect in a strategy that we would identify
funding as
specific funding. I think you're right. You know, things do need to be funded. They don't happen on fresh air. I think there's two big points I'd like to make. One is that I think that, as I've already said, it is the responsibility of everyone on the island. It's not just the local authority or the public health responsibility. So what we need to do is look at the resources we have within the system and how we're best using those, and best targeting them, can we redirect some of the resources. Obviously, we'll be working with mental health services about what's happening within those. You know, we all know the current financial position that we all find ourselves in the public sector, so we've got to be really smart about this. And then what I would anticipate is that as the action, once the action plan is developed, that if there are very specific evidence-based interventions that we need to put in place for specific groups, that we then will review, you know, how are we going to fund those? You know, do we decide that something else we're doing isn't such a priority? You know, I think that's absolutely a legitimate question to ask. But I don't think we're quite at that point.
No, so I think that's what I was just summarising really. The strategy is there as an overarching principle. There's an action plan that will have to include any funding requirements and, as you say, measured against priority. Claire's rightly pointed out that we're in an interesting place. We're about to move into, believe it or not, next year's funding planning. So we should take account of this. We are all very familiar with, whether it's the NHS, ourselves, or our partners, or even the voluntary sector, the demands on funds, and I think it's important that people just understand that. But Michael's right to raise a principle at this level for the board, because we're forming a new group, and I also know there's internally within the council we've yet to finalise some views around some of the public health funding.
Okay, can I just add to that? So one of the things that Michael will hopefully be nodding to this is we've had agreement at local care board that all of our funding decisions that we make regarding health issues will now be discussed at that level. And John's nodding as well because he's the chair of that group. So if it's the CCG or if it's us local authority or within the trust, we are now having those open and honest conversations about funding. So if we went to increase something or reduce something, that conversation would have quite high level working towards the accountable care system.
And it's interesting, James is here because he takes a slightly different tack on the funding world, and the Police and Crime Commissioner just take back the thanks, because the Isle of Wight has done reasonably well from some of the commissioning work that I know James and Amanda will have experienced. And I yesterday wrote to the Secretary of State pushing forward our one public service principle, because I asked for a meeting with him, which I briefed Maggie on, and I'm hoping that that will come in the next few months, because we are under the microscope at the moment. We are doing things a bit differently, and we're trying to get a bit of leeway, which may well then help some of the argument. So that's three, you've got two to go.
Sorry, can I just say one other thing about funding? Just wanted to assure Councillor Lee that, you know, given the current financial situation, we are, whenever there's any national, there's quite a lot of national funding that is, comes on offer, but you have to bid for it, so we always bid, you know, as far as we possibly can for resources. We're not always successful, but we have signed a bid to secure £500,000, I think you're aware of that, £500,000 for the STP for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, so that is for the whole area, not just the Isle of Wight, you know, and there are clear areas for which that has been, I mean, top there is a geographical, that has been allocated, and they match up with the things that are in this strategy, and obviously the Isle of Wight will get its share of that. I mean, £500 million is not a huge amount to go around the whole of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, but it's what we, you know, were successful in getting. So there is some resource there.
Thank you.
Good. Well, that was the next one. I mean, thank you for that. I think that it's extremely important that you have interventions. You know, we are talking about depressed people who then consider taking their own life. Some of those are successful. And we need to have intervention. When you talk to families who are in despair of that, they say, there was nowhere for us to go. There was nowhere for us. You know, we were powerless. You know, we knew this was going to happen often, but we were powerless where does it. So it comes down, you have all the training, you have all the collaboration, but unless you've got specific interventions that a GP can send someone to, right, actually that is the prevention. Prevention and intervention come together, and those actually cost. And at the moment, there's a huge reliance on the voluntary sector, and I'm here to speak on their behalf here, who actually provide a lot of that free in an extremely strained way. And I just really want to say, and I will put an amendment to the options, that you've got to consider. Looking at this issue of funding those interventions.
I'm going to have to challenge you. I'm really sorry, and I don't want the health wellbeing board to come on a pledge that is debated. As a commissioner of services, you know, having one of the largest portfolios, you know, that of social care, public health, a lot of stuff that we commission with the voluntary sector is commissioned. I don't want it put in the public domain that people are doing things for free. We've had this before where someone said, oh, we're giving it to the voluntary sector. Well, we commission services with the voluntary sector. A lot of the time, they do things a lot better than ourselves, for a third of the price that we do it. When we look at community mental health, and if that was going to be, you know, we have to be very careful what we say, that they, you know, the voluntary sector are doing things for free. You know, when you look at citizens' advice, you look at the information guidance service, we do something. That is a commission. The voluntary sector and community sector do get paid for a lot of the services they carry out.
Okay, so I'm the chair going to be now, so I think the points are made. We've got two more to go, Dr. Cole.
Two more to go.
Can I ask just to be concise, because I know we've got a...
The next one is very concise. You mentioned the data. In previous reports, there's been mention of suicide attempts. And I think it's very important that you actually have the figure and data of suicide attempts. I think the last figure that I saw was nearly 500 a year. Individuals, there might be a lot more attempts because some of those individuals have. So there was specific, and I think we've got to have suicide attempt figures in the strategy as well as suicide.
So Sally, can I just confirm you can get that data in due course? If it's available, I know the police
it
will have some.
Available from the ambulance service.
Yes, and that's part of the, as I mentioned, the real time surveillance. So part of the work also is getting. Information about attempted suicide from the ambulance service, but it's more challenging because obviously it's not as easy to categorise.
Okay,
it's a national challenge. I wouldn't normally expect to put that in a strategy, but if you look at one of the priorities in the strategy, it is about improving data.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right, we know that's a real challenge.
Last one, Michael.
I've got an answer, sorry.
Do you need to give it to them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
We have a whole subgroup that is about data, and on that group is the gentleman who represents the police, and we have representatives from the ambulance service and stuff like that, and that is very, very difficult and sensitive data to collect. So there was no way we would agree to put that in until we had some assurance that that data was accurate. But we do have a subgroup that works completely on data.
Thank you for that. Last point, Michael?
The last question. Clearly, we know the risk areas, right? I've actually known that for a number of years. I won't repeat about intervention, but I'll bring up, obviously, the blueprint. It has to be joint up thinking, because suicide prevention and mental health services are linked together. And I'm very concerned that in places in the day, we now have a safe haven, there's improved, you know, with that as a separate site, but there's out of hours, right? Some out of hours support where people in crisis can go, which is obviously part of the prevention. But there is the thing during the day. I know that, you know, the day centres, I know that there's been recent grants or to look at that. But I am very concerned that in the blueprint, that we join the things together and that there is places for people to go to for support they need 24 hours really with that, because when you look at suicide, it is at that moment when someone cannot get help, and you often can actually look at the data of the coroner's report that they did ask for help, right? That
okay, I'm going to cut
you
short.
Wasn't that sentence.
Michael, your point is valid, probably your articulation is long.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Bob, and then over to Maggie, and then Paul. So Bob first.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael. A couple of points, Chair. We note in the report that we say that the percentage, the amount per 100,000 on the island over the period that was looked at was 10.9, compared with 9.6 nationally. And it's said in the report that it's we fell in tune with the national average. Well, actually, we're about 15% above the national average, compare 10.9 and 9.6, which I think is a substantial difference.
Yeah.
I would be very interested, we're talking about data, I would be very interested in seeing the data broken down per ward on the island, because I think if there are particular areas we can identify where there's a particular problem, then I think if we could see that, that might give us a clue in terms of how we can...
Can you do two things? Could you ask Michael to press his button, because we're getting stereo?
Yeah. You know, so I think that could give us a clue in terms of how to address
that. So you pick up on that and deal with it.
And the other thing, having listened to Councillor Lilly and the fact that this report produced by the Health and Wellbeing the Scrutiny Committee, I feel, without having had track of that and the opportunity to read it, I would have some difficulty in voting in favour of this document today. And it may be that the best approach would be to refer it back till everybody's seen this document, and then anyone who's got suggested amendments could put them forward before the next meeting.
Noted. Sorry, did you want to speak to that?
Yes, I just want to pick up the data points.
Yeah, then I'll go to my
Sorry, is that okay?
No, that's fine.
So thank you for that. And you're right on the raw numbers about the difference, but actually, and I'm sure that you've seen the provincial profile, that the Public Health England produced, where they actually work out the confidence interval. So because your numbers are really small, you're going to have really wide confidence intervals. So actually, if your confidence intervals overlap with the England confidence interval, so the difference is not statistically significant. I agree in absolute numbers that you highlighted, but that's why we have to wait for finalised data to really mean that we can do a comparatively. On the ward level data, certainly in the audit, we will look at where individual suicides take place, which is hugely important. And if we spot what we call hotspots or clusters, then you know that's why we're saying this plan needs to be agile to work on that. We can't release that data because the numbers are so small that you would be able to identify. You know, it's just too sensitive. So it's not that we don't look at it in private, but it can't be made public. And that would be the case nationally, it's not necessarily worldwide.
And the other thing about suicide, that I know from my experience, is you can live in one place and it happens somewhere else. Just got to think a little bit later.
Yeah, but we do look at the sort of hotspot idea that you're talking about, absolutely. Yeah.
Maggie, did you want to say another point?
Yeah, well, not to belong to the debate really, but there's a lot of work we're doing within the RY NHS Trust around single point of access, crisis management, and if it's helpful, we could take to Open Human Scrutiny. Our mental health director could come and give an update on the improvements that we've made and we want to continue to make.
I think that'd be useful.
And linked in with
are you represented from NHS now on the group?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was an obvious question, but I just wanted to check.
No, but you're not to go into all in detail.
No, that's fine.
Michael's very happy, but I'm very happy for his outside of this to discuss with that.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
All Michael, really. There's an awful lot going on.
Yeah,
we all share the sentence of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, thank you, Megan, for that. Paul?
Just a bit of information for Councillor Lillie. Actually, I had an email from Suicide Prevention and Intervention of the Isle of Wight before the press article came out the other week, actually. About suicide in secondary schools, and they want access to links to secondary schools. I'll run for a meeting with them this afternoon, Sam, the operation manager, because I don't think it's just secondary schools. I think it's all schools. You know? So I'm going to meet them this afternoon just to see, on their website, what the service they can offer. I'm going to meet them this afternoon just to see what I think they can offer, what doors I can open for them. Not financially necessarily, but I'm concerned they've just said just secondary schools. I think it's you can't just say the island secondary schools. So I'm meeting them at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're already organised, but I want it.
Thank you.
Michelle?
Can I just add, when you're talking to someone this afternoon, can you ask us about homeschooling children?
Yeah.
Can I just make one more? Sorry.
No, back to you. So you take the last close, and then I'll put the proposal.
I just want to make a point on the schools, and it is mentioned in here about postvention. So some of the money that has been obtained through the SDP is for bereavement and postvention support. And in Hampshire, we have developed, I think we're going to be one of the first places to do this, a postvention protocol, because very sadly, when a suicide happens in a school, obviously for schools it's a terrible thing for the staff and the pupils. And we know that a lot of teachers, why would they know how to respond and what to do? So we've developed a protocol which we've circulated to all the schools in Hampshire. And we know, sadly, because it has been used, that it has been found to be helpful. And I know that there's plans to look at how we can, roll that, obviously with appropriate modifications, roll that out on the Isle of Wight. So that should be fairly quick bit of work, because we've done a lot of the hard work there, and it doesn't need much changing. So that, that's important, because we know that when you have one suicide, then it's a risk to other people. So just for assurance that work is happening.
Thank you, Sally. Thanks, Jeremy.
Just a really close debate. If you note at the end of the paper, that the recommendation is option one, which the board notes the Isle of Wight Suicide Prevention Strategy 2018-2021, and it sets its adoption across the system. I think it's prepared today, and all we're asking is to actually that the board notes this. It's not a great big vote or anything like that, and that we need to accept that this is a work in progress, and will always carry on being a work in progress.
So
that's the recommendation.
Thank you for that. So that's what I propose. We obviously different members can take a different position, like that. That we note the reports, we accept it on the system, and I'd like to add that we also take account of the points by Michael, which I thought were valuable points to be covered, and we have agreed that we will incorporate the things in the group in that. On that basis, and I would indicate some of those that are happy for it to go forward on that basis, I'm not accepting everybody will necessarily do that. Okay, any against and any abstentions? Who against? No. Okay. I move now to item 6 on the agenda, which is the Pan Barton Community Project. We have circulated through to